Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, March 21st, and since it is Friday, 8:42, that means it is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, my brother.
Welcome to His Time again this morning. How are things going for you this morning?
Going well. How are you?
Oh, doing all right. Doing all right. Enjoying this beautiful weather that we're having today.
Great spring weather. Spring has sprung.
Absolutely. Yeah, just yesterday. What, just before noon, wasn't it?
There we go. And so we just hope that we don't get another dose of snow and ice.
Spring snow.
I think we're done with that.
Hopefully.
I would like to be anyway.
Well, tell us, what do you have on the lineup for us today with Creation Club, a recent TV series that has come about?
Right, that Cosmos series, Space-Time Odyssey, that's been shown on the Fox channel. They had their second episode on Sunday night, and we thought we'd respond to that, first of all. Yeah, what I don't know if you've been seeing it, but it's infuriating. You know, I watch it and I'm climbing the walls as I watch it because they are so deceptive. You know, that Ken Ham wrote a book called Evolution: The Lie, and it's absolutely true that evolution, the Darwinian molecules to man evolution, is a lie, and at every turn they are deceptive, and this program is very deceptive. While they are in the name of science education, trying to educate the masses on the wonders of science, really what you've got is an infomercial for biological evolution. And the thing that makes it especially deceptive is that they use these computer-generated images. So, you know, you can move seamlessly from something that is scientific, something that is part of observational science, such as how DNA works, or something like that. And then they just move seamlessly from that into the wonderful imaginary world, their speculation about evolution. And the uneducated masses can just take it all in and think, oh, they know this, and they know this, and they know this, and they know this, when you're going from a little bit of something that we do know into a huge realm of things that's pure philosophical, religious speculation. It has nothing to do with the actual observational science, and that this whole series, Cosmos, is very much that way. Well, what did they do this week that was particularly that way? Well, they started out by talking about how what molecules can do. So they talk about the molecules that are involved in DNA, for example, and how DNA is how every living thing reproduces, and the wonderful coded information there, this ancient scripture, that's what they call it, the ancient scripture of our genetic code. And they explain, you know, how DNA works. And then they talk about mutations, and there are such things as mutations, so we don't dispute mutations. But then they very cleverly omit the fact that most mutations are harmful, even fatal to an organism, and they're not beneficial, and they lead into this religious belief that is not scientific, that you can add up a lot of little bitty mutations, and they're going to eventually turn into these great big changes in an organism, so that you can go from non-life to life, and from simple life to more complex forms of life, with this ever-improving process of biological evolution. And there is no scientific evidence for that, and it's maddening that they talk about this. So they talk about mutations as if that's the raw material for evolution. So you get a few mutations here, a few mutations there, and then they just add up and add up and add up and build up until you get a new thing, such as the eye. And that's something that I found astonishing, that they spent a whole series talking about the eye and how the human eye could evolve from starting with one little microbe that had a light-sensitive dot, and then that somehow that could change, and then it gets a little more complex, and then that can change, and then a little bit more complex, and that can change until you finally get the human eye. And it's just as easy as pie because you can see it right on your TV screen. They're doing it with the computer-generated images, and it's just so convincing, and yet it's absolutely phony. First of all, that something can evolve, they have no honesty about all the kinds of changes that would have to take place for, at the genetic level, for something to change, to become more and more complex. And the genetic mechanism is lacking. That's the whole thing, that they're able to say, and they say in a sort of a backhanded way, we don't know how life originated. That's a biggie right there. You know, for them, it's just a mystery. We don't know, but they're confident they're going to find out. But the fact is, we've been observing life for a long time, and it's considered a scientific law that life comes from life, that there is no life that arises from non-living matter. But for evolution, you have to believe, you have to have faith, a religious faith, that it did happen. In fact, for them, since they take us to other worlds, they believe that it's happened all kinds of times. It's an ongoing thing that happens again and again and again, though it has never, ever been observed. So we've moved way far away from observational science to the faith of evolution that requires that life can arise from non-living matter, and that it not only happened once, that it's happening all over the universe again and again and again, even in places where life must be very different from life here. So we don't even have to look for water anymore, because maybe there's a place where they don't need water, and life can spontaneously arise out of non-living matter without water, and live in conditions that are completely different from anything on life on Earth. You know, is there scientific evidence for this? No, none. It's pure speculation. It's science fiction. But, you know, the observer, the person who's watching the television show, is just taken along for the ride to believe this is all so. And getting back to the thing about the eye, I was just stunned by how they just gloss over all the complexity of the eye. And Dr. Georgia Purdom makes a good point. The only way their story can sound reasonable is if they leave out the details. They're deceiving the public by not telling them all the changes that would have to occur at the molecular level, DNA, proteins, and cells, to make this happen. And the only way their story can sound reasonable is if they leave out the details. So that's absolutely right. You know, our good friends at Answers in Genesis are not afraid to give you the details, you see, and show you when you see the details, it is absolutely clear this could not happen by chance. This could not happen by millions and billions of years of little bitty mutations somehow adding up to form an eye. When you see there's so many things in living organisms that are irreducibly complex, a little bitty change here, a little bitty change there, if it's not harmful or fatal, doesn't add up to make an eye or some other new organ in the body or a new system in the body. You have to have all the pieces in place for something to work. And it's not, I'll make this little bitty change and save it for a billion years. I'll make one more little bitty change and save that for a billion years, even though it doesn't improve anything. And then later on, they'll all add up and make an eye or an ear or a heart or a brain. No, that doesn't work. It's never been shown to work. It cannot work. But when you go to Answers in Genesis, they've got all kinds of wonderful resources. And one of the best, I think, is, you know, Dr. David Menton has many lectures that are now on DVD explaining every part of the human body, the human anatomy, in great detail. And he's got one called The Seeing Eye and the Hearing Ear. All of our listeners need to see this. You've got to see the seeing eye and the hearing ear. And it goes into all the great detail of how the human eye works, how the human ear works, down to the molecular level. And it is absolutely breathtaking. And when you understand the intricacies of these things, it shows that the whole theory of evolution is a house of cards. There's absolutely no way that you could, without an intelligent designer, without an almighty God, come up with the human eye with all its every single detail that it has, you know, down to be able, with your retina, to detect a single photon, you know, and with your ear, to have, he explains, down to the microscopic level, where there's actually like a little trap door that lets a single ion in at one time to get to the nerve, and there's a little trap door with a spring and a tension adjuster that, you know, this is at the molecular level, that has to open and shut like 20,000 times a second. You know, how can you explain any of this by little bitty random changes over millions and billions of years? You know, you could have all the time that you want. you know, all your imagined millions and billions of years, and it's never going to happen because you don't have a mechanism that anybody has ever seen in science how you can add information to the genetic code to make it upgrade. You know, obviously, you know, that genetic code had to come from someplace. The intelligence, the language that's there had to be made by an almighty creator. It's an intelligent designer, and that is God. And he tells us in his word, the Bible, how he did it. You know, his creative act is described in the book of Genesis, and throughout the Bible we read again and again, he is the maker of heaven and earth. So I urge our listeners, if you are viewing cosmos, and if there's anything that somehow sounds very seductive to you, by all means, check it out. Answers in Genesis has answers. They have response to every episode of this Cosmos series. And then they also have links to many of their materials, that articles, DVDs, and other things that explain everything that arises in the discussion or the indoctrination, as it were, on that series Cosmos. So check it out, get the answers, and realize that the series Cosmos is just, it's indoctrination. It is religious indoctrination for the religion of evolution. It isn't good science for the most part. And here's something I found fascinating, too. I don't know how much time we have here yet.
About 4 minutes.
Okay. If you saw this, there's something they're very proud of. The makers of this TV series are very proud of, that they came up with this idea of having the Hall of Extinction. And so, again, using computer-generated graphics, they have this Neil deGrasse Tyson walking what it seems like a museum, where he can go down this corridor or that corridor, and the various corridors have names above the threshold as you go down there. And he talks about these mass extinction events from the past. And then, again, they use very creative ways with their computer-generated graphics to illustrate these things in the past, but they just trot out there as fact, and you're just supposed to believe everything they say, even though they don't tell you what are the actual hard facts upon which their story is told. But it's fascinating to me that they began in one of them with the extinction of the trilobites, and I thought that was a very clever move on their part. They didn't, what they did by talking about the end of the trilobites, they didn't have to explain where trilobites came from. And that's a huge embarrassment for evolution, because you've got the Cambrian explosion, where you've got all these little bitty creatures like trilobites that suddenly appear, and there's nothing before them in the fossil record. No evidence of any ancestors of and previous types of lower forms of life leading up to trilobites. And when you have trilobites, they're already complex creatures with an eye, a complex eye, you know, not a simple single dot that's photosensitive, you know, a complex eye on something that in the lowest level of fossil-bearing rock. And so they completely ignored and glossed over this huge problem for the theory of evolution by, instead of telling where trilobites with their complex eye came from, they can talk about, well, this is how trilobites became extinct, and then the next kind of life that's more complex could evolve because now you get rid of this kind of life, and now that gives evolution an opportunity to let a new kind of life flourish. And they do that with the dinosaurs, too. So the dinosaurs became extinct so that mammals could then flourish. And, you know, it's just incredible that they can trot this stuff out, state it as if it's actual fact, like they were actually there, and of course with computer-generated graphics, it feels like you're mm-hmm. there watching it in real time, and it's so convincing, but it's science fiction. It isn't science fact. And they really are very deceptive by not distinguishing between this is fact, and this is how we know this for sure. This is the fossil in the rock versus the story that they tell, the interpretation, the speculation that is merely their belief in, their religious belief in Darwinian molecules to man evolution. And one other factor in here, too, is that Neil deGrasse Tyson, this is his religion, and he talks about it as a soaring spiritual experience. And so he denigrates the idea of religion that thinks that we are special. And what you need to realize, that the evolutionary tree of life that scientists have concocted, makes it so that we can realize that humans are just an insignificant little twig on that tree. So we shouldn't feel special, and it's certainly not that we're specially created by an intelligent God, an almighty God. And so he says, the central premise of traditional belief is that we were created separately from all other animals. It's easy to see why this idea has taken hold. It makes us feel special. But he says we need to accept our kinship with all of life on Earth, and that this is not only solid science, it is, in my view, also a soaring spiritual experience. So there you have it. It's a soaring spiritual experience to realize that we are one with all life on Earth, because we all evolved from a common ancestor, and that's your answer. And he totally ignores the Bible, and especially ignores the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us special.
Amen.
God so loved the world, he gave Jesus to be our Savior.
Thanks, Pastor Wirth, for pointing us back to Jesus.
My pleasure.
Always good to talk with you. Talk with you next week.
I'll look forward to it.
All right. Coming up in a little bit, we'll join together for morning prayer. Stick around, listeners.